important, how much importance Krishna is giving to this eighth question. It's not that the other questions are not important, but relatively speaking, this is a fundamental question for all of us. And what is the question here? Prayana kale cha katham jneyo asi. Prayana kale, at the time of death, katham, how, jneyo asi, how can you be known, O dear Krishna? In other words, Arjuna is asking in this eighth question that how can a person who is self-controlled, niyata atmabhihi, know you at the time of death? So a very, very important question. And in the last line of the purport of this second verse, Srila Prabhupada concludes, Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Such a time meaning the time of death. What is so special about the time of death? The time of death is a time of intense disruption of one's physical and mental faculties. It is a time of great disturbance. We are all aware that when something goes very wrong, it disturbs our chanting, it disturbs our meditation on Krishna. So just multiply these ordinary everyday experiences millionfold and you will have some idea of what it is at the time of death. So therefore King Kulushekhar in his Mukundamala Stotra has prayed, and Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse here in the purport of the second verse, Krishna tvadiya padapankaja panjarantam adyaiva me vishitu manasa raja hansaha prana prayana samaye kafavata pittaihi kanthavaro dhanavidhau smaranam kutaste. He says, my dear Lord, O Krishna, let my mind, manasa raja hansa, which is like a great big swan, vishitu me, let it enter into the network inside panjara. Anta, that is inside the network or the stems of your lotus feet, Padapankaja. Let me give up my body right now. Let my mind be completely absorbed in your lotus feet right now. Because at the time of death, the kapha, pitta and vata, the bile, mucus and air, they accumulate in the throat. They choke up the throat. And it is very, very difficult. Smaranam kutaste, how is it possible for me or for anyone to think of you at this time? Smaranam kutaste, very, very difficult to think of Krishna at the time of death because of all the disruptions in the body and mind that go on. So therefore, this is a very, very important question that Arjuna is asking, the question number 8. And it is on this eighth question that most of this chapter is based, from text 5 onwards. Because in text 3 and 4, he has already answered the first 7 questions. In fact, this is also the question on which the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is based. When Shukadeva Goswami came to the banks of the Ganga, many assembled sages and Brahmins gathered there were asked by King Parikshit about one's duty in life and particularly about the duty of one who is about to die very shortly. And Srila Prabhupada explains that it is from these two questions that the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto to the 12th canto is based. And especially the second question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? This is most important. And Prabhupada explains that whether one is about to die in one moment or in 100 years, it doesn't matter. One is still about to die. It's only a question of just a few minutes more. So everyone must take this question very seriously. So therefore, later when Shukadev Goswami arrives on the scene, then King Parikshit asks him the same two questions. Aham prichhami samsiddham yoginam paramam gurum. I am asking you, O Shukadev Goswami, because you are the greatest, the topmost spiritual master, guru of all the yogis and the saintly persons. Atah prichhami samsiddhim. I am asking you about the perfection. For whom? Purushasya, purushasyeha, purushasya iha, karyam. What is the duty or the karya or the activity that will lead to perfection, samsiddhim? Mriyamanasya sarvatha. Not just for one in all conditions, sarvatha, but especially for mriyamanasya, for one who is about to die. So what is the duty, or what is the activity to be performed by one who is on the threshold of death? So we can understand that if the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from 2nd canto to 12th canto is based on this one question, then if Krishna is devoting the whole, practically the whole 8th chapter to this one question, it's not surprising. So having disposed of the first seven questions in two verses in text 3 and 4, then immediately he gets to the point. Anatakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaha prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. And he gets to the point straight away and says, at the time of death, one who thinks of me will surely come to me. He will attain to my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Asamshayah. We should not have any doubts about this. And having given this particular instance, he gives the general principle now. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajityante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitah. So he says that whatever one's state of consciousness at the time of death, that state one will attain. So one is thinking of Krishna, then one will attain Krishna. So the previous verse, the fifth verse, is a special case of the sixth verse. It is a special case in which one is thinking of Krishna. And then Krishna therefore concludes by saying, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yugyacha mayyarpita mano buddhir mam evaishasi asamshayaha. She can come in if you like. So this way Krishna is speaking, and also until the next verse, the 8th verse, he will speak about the principle of remembering Krishna at the time of death. So what is the duty of one who is about to die? One must remember Krishna at the time of death. And in the next verses, after having talked about in these four verses 5, 6, 7 and 8 about the importance of remembering him at the time of death, then Krishna in the next few verses from 9 to 13 talks about how a yoga mishra bhakta, a person who is a devotee but is also mixed up with a little bit of ashtanga yoga, how he can remember Krishna at the time of death. And then in 14 to 16, then he talks about a pure devotee. Now he's not talking about yoga mishra bhakta, he's talking about a shuddha bhakta. How a pure devotee of the Lord actually perfects his life by constantly thinking with devotion of Krishna, and then he attains to the spiritual world. Each of these verses is very beautiful and very, very important. So having concluded in the 16th verse that the pure devotee reaches the spiritual world, now Krishna wants to distinguish the material world and the spiritual world, and he wants to give us a clear picture of the two, the comparison of the two, or the contrast between the two rather. So in text 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, he actually explains this. and actually up to 22. He's talking about the spiritual and the material worlds. Now he comes to text 23, which is our verse for today, 23 to 25. So this is the background. And in text 23 to 26, Krishna is going to talk about the yogis, how they leave their bodies and what is the criterion for them to attain perfection. From 23, 24, 25 and 26, Krishna will talk about the yogis. And then again in the last two verses of this chapter, 27 and 28, he will conclude by bringing the topic back to the pure devotee and saying, as opposed to the yogi, the pure devotee has no such considerations. Whatever rules have been laid down for the yogis, they don't matter for the devotee. Because the devotee is constantly thinking of Krishna, so he will attain perfection. So let's come to text 23. So again, we remember 23 to 26. Now Krishna is going to talk about how the yogis can leave this world to attain some kind of perfection, different kinds of perfection. So text 23. We have three verses to cover today. Yatra kale to anavritta avritta cha eva yoginah prayata yanti tam kalam vakshyami bharata rishabha yatra kaleta avrittim avrittim chaiva yoginah prayata yanti tam kala bhakshyami bharata rishabha. Okay, because we have three verses, so we'll just have one from the men's side, one from the ladies' side chanting the verse, and then we'll go on. Yatra kale tvaya vrittim avrittim chaiva yoginah prayata yanti tam kala vakshyami bharatarshabha. Yatra kale tvaya vrittim tim chaiva yoginah tayanti tam kalam vakshyami bharatarshabha. Yatra, at which, kale, time, to, and, anavrittim, no return, avrittim, return, cha, also, eva, certainly, yoginah, different kinds of mystics, prayatah, having departed, yanti, attain, tam, that, kalam, time, vakshyami, I shall describe, Bharata Rishabha, O best of the Bharatas. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Purport. The unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. they leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. But those who are not unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realization as Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Hatha Yoga must leave the body at a suitable time in order to be sure of whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death. If the yogi is perfect, he can select the time and situation for leaving this material world. But if he is not so expert, his success depends on his accidentally passing away at a certain suitable time. The suitable times at which one passes away and does not come back are explained by the Lord in the next verse. According to Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Sanskrit word Kal used herein refers to the presiding deity of time. So now Krishna is saying in this verse that, O Arjun, I will explain to you the different times at which when one passes away, one attains different destinations. He is particularly referring to the yogis, yoginaha, different kinds of mystics, different kinds of yogis. And he will also be talking about the karmakandis, as we will see, the karmakandis, the karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis and so on. About the pure devotees he has already mentioned, as Prabhupada says here in the purport, that pure devotees are not concerned about the time and the place of their passing away, because they are always thinking of Krishna, so they are assured of being returned to the kingdom of God. But for those who are not unalloyed devotees, those who are practitioners of other forms of yoga, there is a consideration of proper time and so on of leaving the body. And Prabhupada explains here that those who are expert yogis, they can select the time of their departure. The Hatha yogis, for example, Ashtanga yogis, they lift the soul which is floating in the pranavayus, the different kinds of life airs inside, they raise it up and eventually they bring it up to the skull where there is a tiny, tiny hole called the Brahmarandhra. And at an appointed time, which is given by the Shastra, they leave their body and attain a desired destination within the universe or even outside. Generally it is said that for one who is pious, the soul departs from the upper apertures of the body, and one who is impious, that person's soul departs from the lower apertures of the body. And there are some kinds of symptoms by which we can understand as to which aperture, or at least generally speaking, which apertures the soul has departed from. Those who depart from the higher apertures attain to higher destinations. Those who depart from the lower apertures attain to lower destinations. The yogis who have perfected their life and who are destined for a place which is beyond the material world, they live through the Brahmarandhra, through a tiny hole in the skull. And they are so expert that they can actually withhold the departure of the soul till a particular time. And just at that moment, then they will leave their body. This is the kind of expertise that they may sometimes attain. And yet, as we will see later, it is not possible for them to enter into the pastimes of Krishna. They will not be able to enter into the personal association of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets and especially in Goloka Vrindavan. They can at best attain the impersonal Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord, because they are not pure devotees. Only the pure devotees can attain association of the Lord and entry into his pastimes. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyatvananyaya Shakya Aham Evam Vidhorjuna ज्ञातुं द्रष्टुं च तत्त्वेन प्रवेष्टुं च परंतप. All the undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, O Arjuna, standing before you. And once having known me, jnatum, then you can see me, drashtum, and then you can enter, praveshtum cha parantapa, then you can enter into the mysteries of my understanding, you can enter into my abode, you can enter into my pastimes. So such an entry into Krishna's personal association is possible only for the pure devotees of the Lord and for no one else. However, because some of these yogis, like the Jnana yogis for example, or the Ashtanga yogis who meditate on the impersonal, and they also attain the same destination as the Jnana yogis, they attain to the impersonal Brahman. And even then, they have to follow all these different rules and regulations. But for a devotee, it doesn't matter. This is the beauty of devotional service. One time I had given the example here that when people say, because Krishna has explained here earlier in this chapter, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram, that we have to think of him at the time of death. What if we die in our sleep? We die when we are in coma in the hospital, or what if we die suddenly in an accident when we don't have the time even to think of Krishna? Then does it mean that there is no hope for us? What if a pure devotee leaves his body in his sleep? What happens? So the answer of course is that Krishna will always take his pure devotee back to the spiritual world. There are so many pastimes of devotees like this, but time does not permit us to go into these pastimes which explain how the pure devotee is protected by Krishna in all circumstances. One of Ramanuja's associates, I forget his name, who went to, I think, Lord Varadaraj, asked him, Kuresh, and Lord Varadaraj told him in answer to the question of what if a devotee, he gives him the benediction that even if my pure devotee doesn't think of me, I will think of him at the time of death. Krishna will not forget his pure devotee. So you see, all of these examples may pertain to other sampradayas, but they are dealing with pure bhakti and therefore they are very relevant and instructive for us, and there is no harm in getting inspiration and understanding from these other examples. So that is a fact, that Krishna never forgets his devotees. Krishna is indebted by the little service or the great service that his devotees may render. So what to speak of a pure devotee? So even if a pure devotee were to pass away from this world in his sleep, he is protected by Krishna. One can give a simple example that a person who is working in a factory gets paid for 30 days but actually works for only 24 days or 25 days, because there are weekends in which he doesn't work. There are holidays in the month, but still he gets paid, even though he doesn't work. So what if an employee says that since I'm getting paid for 30 days and I'm working only for 25 days, therefore I won't come to your factory anymore, but you still pay me for 5 days. Because anyway I was not coming for those 5 days, so you should still pay me for the 5 days. What will the employer say? I am paying you for the 5 days because you are working for the other 25 days. But if you don't work for the 25 days, then I will not pay you for the 5 days. So similarly, for a non-devotee who is not remembering Krishna when he is living, in the course of his life, he can never remember Krishna at the time of death. But for a pure devotee, because he is constantly remembering Krishna in his waking state, so Krishna will protect him in his sleeping state and make sure that he goes back to Godhead, whatever the condition in which he leaves his body. So the point is that for pure devotees, time, place and circumstance of death is not an important criterion. Rather, this is an important consideration for other forms of other types of yogis. So Krishna says here, yatra kale tu Anavrittim avrittim cha eva yogina. Anavritti means not coming back. Avritti means coming back. So what are those times at which one may come back or not come back for such yogis? That I will speak about, O Arjuna. So Krishna says in text 23. So now he will speak about these times. In text 24, he will speak about the situation where such a yogi can actually depart for the spiritual world. He enters into the impersonal Brahman. He is released from the cycle of birth and death by leaving his body at a certain time, which will be described in text 24. And in text 25, he describes another path, which is taken by those who leave their bodies at other times. That path doesn't take us beyond this world, but it is within this world. So we'll come to that. Text 24 now. Abhihi Jyotihi Ahaha Shuklaha Shatmasaha Uttara Ayo Tatta Prayataha Gacchata Brahma Brahmavidaha Janaha Abhya Jyotir Ahaha Shukraha Shanmasa Uttarayana Tatrapayata Gacchata One from the men's side, one from the ladies' side, and those who have not chanted before, each time new ones, please chant. Abhya Jyotir Aha Shuklaha Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gacchante Bhava Brahma Vibhajanaha. Ladies' side. Abhya Jyotir Aha Shuklaha Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha. Agnihi, fire, Jyotihi, light, Ahaha, day, Shuklaha, the white fortnight, Shatmasaha, the 6 months, Uttara Ayam, when the sun passes on the northern side, Tatra, there, Prayataha, those who pass away, Gacchanti, go, Brahma, to the Absolute, Brahma Vidaha, who know the Absolute, Janaha, persons. Translation and purport again by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light at an auspicious moment of the day during the fortnight of the waxing moon or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. Purport. When fire, light, day, and the fortnight of the moon are mentioned, it is to be understood that over all of them there are various presiding deities who make arrangements for the passage of the soul. At the time of death, the mind carries one on the path to a new life. If one leaves the body at the time designated above, either accidentally or by arrangement, it is possible for him to attain the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Mystics who are advanced in yoga practice can arrange the time and place to leave the body. Others have no control. If by accident they leave at an auspicious moment, then they will not return to the cycle of birth and death. But otherwise, there is every possibility that they will have to return. However, for the pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, there is no fear of returning. Whether he leaves the body at an auspicious or inauspicious moment, by accident or arrangement. So, having mentioned in the previous verse that he is going to talk about different times at which the yogis pass away, now he is talking about certain favorable moments when the jnana yogis pass away from this world. Because the verse here talks about Brahma Vidaha Janaha, Brahma Vido Janaha, those persons who know the absolute Brahma. And therefore, Gacchati Brahma, therefore they go to that absolute Brahma. In other words, they enter the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So under what conditions do these people, the Brahmavadis, in what condition do they enter into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti? Agni, Jyoti, Ahaha, Shuklaha, Shravasa Uttarayanam. So these are the conditions mentioned here. Agni refers here to fire, Jyoti to light, Aha to the day, Shukla to the white fortnight, which means the waxing moon. When the moon from the new moon, the dark moon, it becomes brighter and brighter till it reaches the full moon, that is called the white fortnight, the bright fortnight. It's also called the Shukla Paksha. Shukla means white or bright. And the other fortnight is called the Krishna Paksha. Krishna, not as Lord Krishna, but Krishna meaning dark. So that Krishna Paksha, Paksha means 15 days or half the month actually. And that is from the full moon going up down to the half, to the dark moon again. So in this case, where presiding deities of the fire and light, the presiding deity of the day, the presiding deity of the Shukla Paksha, and the presiding deity of the Uttarayana period, assist that jiva in moving up. When the jiva leaves at a certain auspicious moment in that period that comes under their jurisdiction, then he is transported gradually, upwards and upwards, till eventually he passes through the coverings of the Brahman of the universe and into the Brahma Jyoti. Uttarayana here refers to the passage of the sun into the northern hemisphere. At that time, the sun moves from south to the north, remains in the northern hemisphere for 6 months, and then goes down again into the southern hemisphere, and this going down is called Dakshinayana. Dakshina means south, ayana means going. So now we are talking about the 6 months of the sun's passage in the northern hemisphere. So this is called Uttarayana. So at some time there, and during the waxing fortnight of the moon, in the daytime, when it is light, and at an auspicious moment, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan says, at that time, if the yogi leaves his body, then he achieves the Brahma Jyoti. The Acharyas have also explained that, as Prabhupada quotes here in the purport, when fire, light, day and the fortnight of the moon are mentioned, it is to be understood that over all of them there are various presiding deities who make arrangements for the passage of the soul. So there are laws of nature And when the soul has left the body at this particular auspicious time, then all the deities under whose jurisdiction these time periods come are obliged to facilitate the onward transfer of the soul. There are varieties of fire gods. All these are described in great detail in the Chandogya Upanishad. This is called the Shukla Gati, or it is called the Devayana. It is the path of the devas, of the demigods, because the soul takes that path in the Shukla, in the period of the bright fortnight. So Shukla Gati or the Devayana. So this is described in some detail in the Chandogya Upanishad. And it is said how at every stage different demigods, especially the different types of fire gods, they facilitate the onward movement of the soul, pass the soul on from one place to another like a relay race. A baton in a relay is passed on from one sportsman to another. He catches it and takes him on to the next, hands him over to the next runner. That runner takes the bar, goes on to the next. In this way, the soul is handed out from demigod to demigod, demigod to demigod, going up right through the coverings of the universe. And there are certain demigods who are also, who have jurisdiction for the different layers of the universe. So they are passed on progressively, and eventually they are made to enter into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So this is for one who is absorbed in the Brahman, for the Jnana Yogis in particular. So these are very complex things. So there is facility for everyone's transfer to another situation. Normally, a person leaves his body, and the subtle body, under the instructions or the directions of the Paramatma, the Super Soul, accepts another body in one of the planets in the material world. But for such a Jnana Yogi, now it is not the subtle body which moves, the soul is directly taken place to place to re-enter the Brahma Jyoti. Having talked about the Devayana or the Shukla Gati, now in the next verse, 25, Krishna will talk about the Pitriyana or the Krishna Gati. Again, we know that this Krishna Gati is not the destination of attaining Lord Krishna, but it is Krishna Gati in the sense that it pertains to the dark fortnight of the moon. Our goal is also Krishna Gati. We also want to attain Krishna, but that's in a different meaning, a different context. And in this text 25, it refers to the Karmakandis, who perform certain fruitive activities for attaining elevation to the higher planets, particularly the moon planet, where they enjoy many, many years of heavenly delights, like drinking somras and so on. So let's talk about text 25. Dhumaha Ratrihi Tatha Krishna Shatmasaha Dakshina Aya Tatra Chandramasa Jyotihi Yogi Prapya Vivartate Dhumaratrastatha Krishna Shalmata Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandrama Samjyoti Yogi Prapya Vivartate Dhumaratrastatha Krishna Shalmata Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandrama Samjyoti Yogi Prapya Nivartate. Please chant one and one. Dhumaratrastatha Krishna Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandrama Samjyoti Yogi Prapya Nivartate. कृष्णः सन्माता दक्षिणायनम् तत्र चान्द्रमसं ज्योते योगी प्राप्यनिवर्तते धूमः स्मोक रात्रिः नाइट तथा ऑल्सो कृष्णः द फोर्थ नाइट ऑफ द डार्क मून षट मासाः द सिक्स मंथ्स दक्ष अयनम व्हेन द सन पासेस ऑन द सदर्न साइड तत्र देयर चांद्रमसम द मून प्लैनेट ज्योति ही द लाइट योगी द मिस्टिक प्राप्य अचीविंग निवर्तते comes back. Translation and purport also by Srila Prabhupada. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Purport. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in fruitive activities and sacrificial methods on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years by demigod calculations and enjoy life by drinking somras. They eventually return to earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, although they may not be perceived by the gross senses. So having talked about how Jnana Yogis can avail of auspicious moments to leave the body to attain the impersonal Brahman, in this verse Krishna talks about how the Karmakandis, by performing elaborate fruitive rituals, can leave their bodies at auspicious moments to attain the higher planets within this universe, specifically the moon planet, where they enjoy heavenly delights for a long period of time, but ultimately they have to come back, nivartate. Because as Krishna has explained earlier in this chapter, आ ब्रह्म भुवनालोक पुनरावर्तिन अर्जुन माम उपेत्यतु कौन्तेय पुनर्जन्मन विद्यते. So whether it is Brahmaloka or whether it is Pataloka, unless one is a pure devotee of the Lord, unless one is qualified to enter into the kingdom of the Lord, one will have to take birth again. One who attains to me, Krishna says, doesn't have to take birth again. So here, again, it is in the period when at certain auspicious or certain moments, one can say, not necessarily auspicious, at certain moments which come under the jurisdiction of the demigods who preside over the smoke, the night, the Krishna Paksha, that is the waning fortnight of the moon, and also the 6 months when the sun is in the southern hemisphere, that is the Dakshinayana period, then such Karmakandis can attain to the heavenly planets. So now Krishna has talked about these two ways. The second way is the Pitriyan, or also called the Krishna Gati. And in the next verse, which will be discussed tomorrow, Krishna is going to summarize this statement of these two ways. And then in text 27 and 28, the last two verses of the chapter, he will conclude by explaining how it doesn't matter for a pure devotee what time he dies. For a pure devotee, any time he leaves his body, he will attain to the spiritual world. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Why did Bhishma Pitamaha wait for the Uttarayan period when he is a pure devotee of the Lord? Yes, that is true. He need not have waited. he would have gone back to Godhead anyway. But on the pretext of waiting for Dakshinayan, he actually wanted to see Krishna. He wanted to have darshan of Lord Krishna right in front of him before he departed. He wanted Krishna's divine words to be heard by him. He wanted to see Krishna's beautiful form in front of him. Also, Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to be instructed by Bhishma. And he wanted to glorify his devotee Bhishma's great departure. If Bhishma had just left like that, perhaps we would not be talking so much about his departure. But because Bhishma departed in such a glorious way, in such a unique way, everybody remembers Bhishma's departure, lying on the bed of arrows for such a period of time. And even in that condition, he gave elaborate discourse to Yudhishthira Maharaj on the different ways of Varnashram Dharma and on so many ways a king should rule and various other things. So Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee Bhishma, that even in this condition, see how he is mentally and he is so perfect. He is in possession of his faculties, he is speaking on Dharma. Just like Srila Prabhupada, even though he was so frail and weak, right here in the next room. In his last few days even though the body was extremely weak and practically not fit to withhold his soul anymore, but he was clear in his mind. He was dictating his purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So following in the footsteps of Bhishma. So for a pure devotee like Bhishma, who is enacting a certain pastime and who is facilitating the Lord's pastime, he is playing a role in the Lord's pastimes, both for Bhishma's glorification and for the Lord's own purposes, Bhishma stayed on and departed at that moment. Yes. That is an external explanation. No doubt one can explain that from an external point of view. That yes, Dakshinayan, the 6 months, is the night of the demigods. And since he was originally Dhu, one of the Vasus, Dhu was the one who had stolen Nandini, the cow, from Vasishtha Muni, so he was cursed. And he became Bhishma later, and he had to go back to his position as Dhu. But nevertheless, that is an external situation. Ultimately, there is no doubt that Bhishma was a pure devotee of the Lord. And for a pure devotee, such considerations do not apply, as Krishna has explained in these verses here. That a pure devotee's departure or his staying on in this world are directly in the hands of Krishna. And therefore, even though we know that Bhishma had the yogic power by his father's blessings of Ichha Maran, that he could leave his body whenever he desired, so all that is there, but ultimately it is because Bhishma is a pure devotee and he was playing a certain role in the pastimes of the Lord. So the Lord arranged for such a departure. Any other question? Yes. About Thakur Haridas? Yes. What is the question? You're talking about Haridas Thakur's fortune or passing away? Well, yes, Haridas Thakur also, like Bhishma Dev, passed away in the presence of the Lord. He said, It will be the perfection of my life to pass away when I see your beautiful form in front of my eyes. And Mahaprabhu obliged. And as he sat there in front of Thakur Haridas, Haridas departed from this world. So these are all famous examples of how great devotees have left their bodies. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada is saying that then there is a possibility for that. No, no. Then they will not return to the cycle of birth and death. So as we heard that those who attain the Brahma Jyoti, there is a possibility to take a birth again.
Well, yes, but you see, the question is that in the purport in text 24, Srila Prabhupada says that for a Jnana Yogi who leaves the body by this Devayana process, the Shukla Gati, the path that has been mentioned in text 24, he attains to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and then he does not come back. But later it is said that there is, that he will not come back, but otherwise there is every possibility that they will have to return. So the question is that how is it said that having attained the Brahma Jyoti he will not come back, when it is said in other places, in the Bhagavatam and so on, that even a person who attains Brahma Jyoti will return. You see, generally, even when a Jnana Yogi attains to the impersonal Brahman, and we say that he will return to this material world again, it may take its time. Because in the Brahma Jyoti, the soul doesn't experience the rasa of exchange of love with Krishna. And because of that, it doesn't experience the highest bliss. And therefore, seeking that rasa, he again attempts to come back to the material world. But practically speaking, that may take, we don't know how many creations. It's not that he just goes and comes. He may take a long time, he may take a short time. But the point is that so long as he's there, he's liberated. But for one who is within the material world, who goes to a higher planet, he must come back. He must return to the earth. Kshine punyamarti lokam vishanti, as Krishna has said, that once the pious activities that he has performed are exhausted, he must return to the earth planet. For those who have achieved the Brahma Jyoti, they may stay there for so long, even the time consideration is very hazy. We do not know what time factor to apply. So many creations, millions of creations may have also gone by in that period. So theoretically, yes, it is possible that a jiva may fall down from the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But that has its own time frame. But for a jiva who is wandering within the universe, inside, for him it's only a short time before which he will again fall back to the earth. Somebody had a question? Yes. The question is that it was mentioned that for a pure devotee he doesn't have to depend on the different paths of getting released from the bondage of the material world, but how to understand what is a pure devotee and what symptoms does he have? Well, that's a big question and we cannot deal with it now, but suffice it to say that if you come day after tomorrow, then in text 27-28, then you will have some understanding of that. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about pure bhakti anyway, although other paths have been discussed, but only to highlight pure bhakti. So in every chapter you will find descriptions. Why have other processes been mentioned? Why has Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, all these things, why have they been mentioned if they are not the ultimate? Just to show by contrast how superior Bhakti Yoga is. Just like when the manufacturer of some product, say some television company or something, they want to show that we are number one, then he will advertise, our company sells so many televisions, 1,000 televisions, and the other company 770 only, and this other company 650 only. So what is the idea in giving the other information? Just to show that my company is much better. So in the same way, the Bhagavad Gita is, the subject matter is bhakti. Prabhupada explains this. That because the discussion is between Krishna and his pure devotee, the discussion can only be bhakti, because what else is a pure devotee interested in apart from bhakti? But for our benefit, in order to illustrate and demonstrate that bhakti is superior to all other paths that may be available, he has just briefly talked about these other processes. So in short, the pure devotee's descriptions are found in practically every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, one last question. Text 9 to 13, yes. Not yogis, it is basically yoga mishra bhaktas. Yoga mishra bhaktas. They are also devotees, but they are not pure devotees. And 23 to 26 is 25, they are talking about others. 24 is talking about a jnana yogi, 25 is talking about a karmakandi. And in text 9 to 13, he's talking about yoga mishra bhaktas. They're devotees, but they are not pure completely. Okay, so we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
बीच में कट गया था, आउट ऑफ फ्रेम. हाँ लोकेश वो थे. अच्छा कट गया. हाँ मतलब मेरे को तो समझ में आया जब आपका मतलब फोन बजा, रिंग बजा, तब मेरे को समझ में आया. अच्छा ऐसा हो रहा था क्यों? ये ऐसा तो नहीं होना चाहिए. अच्छा अच्छा अच्छा, तो आपने बाकी सुना ना? ठीक है, यहाँ पर रिकॉर्डेड लेक्चर है, आप जब आएंगे सबको दे देंगे. हाँ ठीक है. अब हाँ अभी तो मतलब एकदम